Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Regarding ID podcast. I'm Gina Jordan. A couple of years ago, Phil Wolf wanted to know what threats lurked on the horizon for the National Strategy for Trusted Identities in Cyberspace. As strategy director at the Personal Data Ecosystem Consortium, or PDEC, he was into that sort of thing. So he began with a small group of self-professed tech geeks, policy wonks, and executive suits. The topic was three simple words: death to NSTIC.
You gathered some of your fellow wonks to figure out what might prevent NSTIC from succeeding. So if you would just please tell us about that.
Sure. So I've been going for many years to an organized unconference where we self-select our topics when we get there about identity. It's called the Internet Identity Workshop. And it's been going on basically twice to four times a year for, I think it's 6 or 7 years now. And about 2 years ago, I hosted a session shortly after NSTIC had been announced and invited everybody to do a risk assessment, a threat assessment for the brand new project. I was being a little bit irascible because everybody had been like really so thoroughly positive and cheerful about the thing. It kind of got on my nerves a little, but it's always a great exercise to look at what could derail an initiative, because then you can work backward and say, well, can we mitigate those risks? Can we anticipate those threats and design our project accordingly to be more resistant or resilient to those threats? Last fall, I did the same thing again after the project had been going for a while, 18 months later, and correlated all those results. You know, at each of these sessions, we invited people to score them and say which ones are the most serious. And the participants in these things were basically people who were active participants in the project, in the NSTIC project, were active participants in various types of technology that might be used, or companies or organizations that had experience in these kinds of standards processes.
Great. And so it was a different batch of people each time you did it?
Yes. I think there might have been one or two people that were the same across, but it was almost all different people.
Well, so first of all, maybe you could tell us, what did you notice that was different about the second group and their responses than the first group?
In the first one, people's concerns were mostly about external threats. Could some outside force come in and derail things? By the time people had actually settled into the project and had more experience of what was going on, most of the concerns were about internal drivers and internal forces that might disrupt. So between the two events, we had like a really long list of threats, but the ones that really came to the fore and that were consistent across both were that there was concern about that a user experience didn't work and that that would have major consequences. And there was little confidence that current practices really supported having a great user experience for this. The other threat had to do with, you know, a balance of forces among the various parties. So if you thought of NSTIC as having four pillars of support, they really were having, you know, strong public policy, having strong economic models, having strong technology, and having strong cultural support. And if each of those had to be strong, I think each had to be in alignment with the other three. And that seemed sort of perilous to everyone because there were so many ways that economic motivations could be out of alignment with public policy. It would not be very hard for that to happen. Same thing with technology to be drifting in one direction away from where popular culture and acceptance of this kind of a solution would be. And so having everything not both flexible and growing and strong without becoming rigid and all at the same tempo so that one part of the system didn't mature so much faster than the others that it threw things out of whack, so that liability models stayed in alignment with the various economics and market forces in play. We thought that the orchestration of all of that stuff would be an ongoing management challenge.
So you just told us the two main things you came up with, and I know a white paper was born from this. Is there anything else in that white paper that you think it's necessary for people to know about your findings?
In the white paper, we detail a lot of other kinds of risks and threats to this, and some of it had to do with what could go wrong in each of those four areas. So, like, in what form could regulatory risk change? what types of challenges might occur in a technology sense. You know, so for instance, could somebody come out with a de facto standard for this stuff and basically create a competition for this new emerging capability? The other thing that the white paper did raise that didn't come out of those sessions was the fact that the federal government has been bankrolling some of the initial seed activity of this, and they budgeted several millions of dollars in pilot projects in the program management office that is used to coordinate these initial activities and in the support activities for the events that are used for meeting facilitation and coordination and all that kind of stuff. And so with the fiscal cliff and various other budget cuts around, there's some risk that the initial support in these early days might go away. So we don't know what the actual budgetary decisions will be. But that's a new risk, and it might force companies to start making decisions about ponying up prematurely in support of the project. The program office could go away or be forced down to a skeleton crew, and folks who had been awarded grants for pilot projects might have their funding yanked. We really don't know when, how much, in what form, or if it's all been protected in some way. I mean, this is all part of the Department of Commerce, the way it's currently structured, through NIST. So I don't know how vulnerable they are compared to other parts of government. I think a lot of folks are hopeful because this does come somewhat under the rubric of national security in the sense that good passwords make for better resistance to cyber threats. So there's some hope that even though this is a civilian activity, that it won't get cut, but who knows?
Could you give us your website where people can go read this white paper?
Sure. If you Google Death to NSTIC, you can find it probably as fast as anything else, but we're at personaldataecosystem.org.
Okay, so you have posed the question to your readers, what do you think could kill NSTIC? Have you gotten any responses that you didn't hear in your workshops?
Not really, no. I mean, I think that the other ongoing challenge is that NSTIC feels like it's moving very, very slowly compared to Silicon Valley speeds for standards. NSTIC operates in a more deliberate fashion, and so the tempo is much slower. And maybe that's just because the kinds of parties that are involved are very large for the most part, and the federal government as a party is very large, and so they're used to working more slowly. But I think a lot of folks are really concerned that the speed of things and the bureaucracy of things be not an impediment toward moving forward.
So ultimately, you were looking at sort of the threats, but these are just theories you've come up with. But do you feel like it will be successful, I guess, is the best way to put it?
I think most IT projects have a very low chance of success. I think most IT projects that are bigger than that are Breadbox are like a 50-50 proposition. So I'd probably give the same kinds of odds to this, not for any one threat, but just because that's the nature of this kind of a beast. At the same time, I think the upside is so positive. I think the opportunity to have not just a national, but an international network of federated identities that can be trusted for the purposes for which they're intended is astounding and can open up, you know, at the personal data ecosystem, we're really all about promoting opportunity for people to have more control over their data, and that redressing of that power imbalance between institutions and people is really good for business. And so as a trade association, as an NGO, we're very excited about NSTIC because it creates an opportunity for that to happen, because control over personal ID and good identity systems are a prerequisite for having really great exchange and personal control of personal data.
Phil Wolf is strategy director at the Personal Data Ecosystem Consortium. His white paper is titled What Could Kill NSTIC? A Friendly Assessment in Three Parts. Thank you for joining us for this edition of the Regarding ID podcast.